Alrighty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show by the Infinity, or on the Infinity Sports Network. Did I say by the Infinity Sports
you
Network?
Did.
I guess that still works. The Zach Gelb Show by the Infinity Sports Network. We're on the Infinity Sports Network, but we are presented by the Infinity Sports Network. So, you know, they changed the network name once, and, you know, I haven't had that many slip-ups, but I guess that was a slip-up there. It wasn't even the wrong network name, it was just on and by. But either way, this is the Zach Gelb Show on or by the Infinity Sports Network. We are here for two more hours. Liam McHugh, NHL on TNT, is going to stop by 20 minutes from now. And then two-time Super Bowl champion, recently retired Brandon Graham, BG, will join us. We just had Hickey in studio. That guy's a character. I'll tell you, and I didn't realize this when I worked with Hickey, because I never thought Hickey had accountability issues. But Hickey has really turned into the talk show host and the colleague that when he gets something wrong, he just can't say it. He went after my producer, Michael Santer, right? Went after him, said, Santer doesn't know how to spell. Spelled guarantee wrong. Hickey mocked his education. Hickey mocked Santer. Hickey tried to be the Edmonton Oilers, being someone that he wasn't, and he was laughing at Santer. Laughing. Trying to beat up on Santer. Poor little Santer. And Santer was actually right. Because Santer, I don't know, went to Boston University. I think they know how to spell a few things. And not that Hickey has a crappy education. Hickey went to Penn State. But you would think that Hickey would be able to know how to spell. Now, I'm going to be honest, and this was an old moment for me. This is a humbling moment for your boy. And I wear glasses. Hickey walks in, and Hickey goes, you know, guarantees is spelled wrong. And I squint and I go, that font is so small, I can't see that. So I didn't want to say that. So I said to Hickey, oh, yeah, sure, you're probably right. I don't know, I'll talk to Santer. And then Hickey just comes in hot to Santer. You moron, you spelled it wrong. If you're going to make fun of me, at least get it right. A lot of sensitive people around here. I'll tell you, people just get it on the air now. Very sensitive. I didn't think Hickey was sensitive. But Hickey has kind of developed a little bit of an ego. And when he says he got something wrong, he was yelling at, I didn't get it wrong. He accused you of, after he thought he got it wrong, that in 30 seconds you were able to change it, and you showed him the timestamp. And now you're mad because you just went, you turned your hat around. Your hat was forward, and now it's backwards. Which, by the way, if Colin Coward was watching you right now, Colin Coward would say, that's not a producer that I could have, because he doesn't believe that quarterbacks should wear their hats backwards, which is actually a funny bit that he does.
I'm pulling a Sly Stallone move in the movie Over the Top. You ever see that movie?
No.
It's an arm wrestling movie where Sly Stallone goes into these arm wrestling tournaments, mm-hmm. and, like, he's up there with his hat on like that, and then when he gets, like, really in the mode, like, he's going to go badass and beat somebody in arm wrestling,
yeah.
he turns his hat around. So that's where I'm going with this.
Badass Samter, Mad Mike.
I am not going to knock Penn State education because there are some very intelligent, qualified, successful people that came out of Penn State. It's not the school.
I'm not going to slam institutions.
No, not going to slam the institution. But it's the quality of the man. And if he doesn't know how to spell guarantee, and worse yet, he wants to question my integrity mm-hmm. by calling out my changing of the lower third, the chyron, rather than taking responsibility for his own actions.
BU just disowned you. I think they just disowned you. You sound like Mike McDaniel trying to say a sentence right now.
My feelings? I don't give a bleep about my feelings.
Do me a favor, Stu. Can you play me Mike McDaniel? This is from earlier today. This is terrible. I heard this clip, and I was laughing. I was hitting the floor. I never thought I would stand up again because my stomach was hurting that much from how much I was laughing, not because I had something funky to eat last night. I was hysterically laughing because for years, all of you people would just sit there and you would go, oh, Mike McDaniel's so funny. Oh, he's hilarious. Oh, this, oh, that. Oh, he's the greatest thing ever. And I sat there and I would say, am I an idiot? Am I a moron? Have I lost my sense of humor? Do I just not understand the inside joke that everyone else is in on with Mike McDaniel? Because when I hear him speak, I think it sounds like a moron. This is a leader of men. This is a guy that's going to lead you to go try to win a Super Bowl. This is your head coach. This is Mike McDaniel when it comes in regards of the pending Jalen Ramsey contract situation. Everyone thinks he's going to get traded and he's still on the Miami Dolphins. This is a coach of one of 32 teams in
the National Football League.
I don't personally, and I would lump you into this with me. I don't give a about what I feel. I don't even really go down that road of how do I feel about it. My job is to react and control my controllables and make sure that people are moving in one direction appropriately. And so business is business.
Huh? Huh? What? Was that an eighth grade football player just speaking in cliches, or was that a head coach of an NFL team? That was terrible. Stu, there's no way that was AI, right? Is that actual audio from Mike McDaniel?
That is actual audio that he actually said.
There's going to be one of these days where I go off on one of these coaches, right? And then it ends up being AI. So this is Mike McDaniel one more time, please. My headphones must have not been working. That's not what he actually said, right? Go ahead.
I don't personally, and I would lump you into this with me. I don't give a about what I feel. I don't even really go down that road of how do I feel about it. My job is to react and control my controllables and make sure that people are moving in one direction appropriately. And so business is business.
I know a lot of people just like to slam Bill Belichick these days. Be like Bill, Mike. Just say nothing. All you had to say there was, next question. Or you could sit there and just go, you know, that's an issue. That's between Jalen and I and the organization, and we'll do what's in the best interest of the team. All right, as we always do. That's all you had to say. Instead of whatever, dude, where's my car, having a baby with Napoleon Dynamite and the offspring is Mike McDaniel. Because that's what Mike McDaniel sounds like, that he got lost in the movie Dude, Where's My Car? And then also Napoleon Dynamite. Oh, my goodness gracious. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Stephon Diggs may be in love with the Coco. Here is Stephon Diggs, how he responded to this whole video that went viral. He was partying allegedly with girls on a yacht, allegedly. And there was allegedly a pink powdery substance that no one knows what it was about because it's allegedly. So we don't get sued. Here is Stephon Diggs.
Obviously, I want to be as candid with you guys as possible.
You know.
I kind of like have a thing where talk about my personal life with people I don't know personally.
I'm pretty
sure
line.
Everybody here, men and women, are great people, but you know what I'm saying? I kind of keep my personal life personal. I had a conversation with Vrabes, obviously. I'm going to echo everything that he said. He told me, you know, hoping everybody making good decisions, you know what I'm saying? And I had a conversation with people in the building as well, so.
Sorry, I understand that. It's kind of coming on us to ask, who's in the bag?
Obviously, it's a conversation, you know, that's happening internal. You know what I'm saying? I can't have too much of a conversation about it. But I've been in this league 10 years. You can format the question many different ways. You know, I'm going to obviously answer it the same way. So.
Steph, I just have one. Yeah. Did you know it was being recorded?
Once again, you can format the question many different ways. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing this for 10 years. The conversation that I had with Raves and the people in the building, obviously, is going to be handled internal, you know what I'm saying, in-house then. So.
Do you regret it happened?
So you asked me again. I would hate to repeat myself again.
How do you move forward with this as a New England Patriot?
Obviously, I don't want to be rude, but I would hate to repeat myself for the fourth time. But you want me to repeat myself again? Say the same thing again? I mean, I'm trying to be as polite as possible, but.
I kind of think both parties are right. Right? Here you have the Patriot media. They're doing their job. Tommy Curran, I think it was, if I could recognize his voice correctly. I'm just going to ask you, what was in the bag? Right? Direct. Fortright. Honest. What we want to hear. And then Stephon Diggs is basically saying, I've done this enough. I'm not giving you anything that you guys want. You want the truth. I'm not giving you the truth. And these are internal conversations because I don't know you or anyone anything. So I kind of thought, even though Stephon Diggs allegedly was in the wrong, the handling of the exchange of it for a wide receiver partying on a boat, and he just shouldn't have been recording, and you shouldn't be doing what he was allegedly doing. But let's be real, that stuff does happen. I'm not naive there. Media did their job. Stephon Diggs, in terms of addressing it, I thought did his job as well. Basically, let's not give any more legs to this story. Kirk Cousins, do you want to be somewhere else since you are basically quarterback number two on the Atlanta Falcons?
Kirk, I feel like we've heard from everybody else that you would prefer to be somewhere else where you can start, but we haven't heard that from you. Is that accurate?
Obviously, you'd love to play, but I'm not going to dwell on things that aren't reality in terms of that's not the situation I'm in. So it's better spent to be focused on the situation I'm in and controlling what you can control. And I think that's the right mindset to have.
I may want to come up with a new idea where we have a sounder and we got to think how we're going to construct the sounder, but it will be the Zach Gelb translator or something like that, where I could actually translate what players actually want to say. There's an idea. We have to creatively name it. We have to then get imaging done, and then we got to execute it. There's a lot of things that have to happen. We're a very process kind of show here. But Kirk Cousins, that truthful answer is, the situation is what it is. You all know that I want to be starting in the NFL somewhere else, and I don't want to be here in Atlanta anymore. That's how I would translate that answer. Here is Shedeur Sanders, and not getting many reps yet as the Browns are in mandatory minicamp.
My goal is to be the best teammate and to be as polished as I can be in every aspect. I view things as I got time. I got time to be able to grow and mature, you know, and be able to understand the ins and outs of the defenses and be able to get the good insight from the vets in the room. So I look at it as, you know, a plus. Like, I got time to actually be able to really have a great understanding. And whenever, you know, it's time for me to play, then it's time for me to play. But I'm not looking too far in the future about all that. I'm looking about every day in practice, because I had some misses out there today that, you know, we got to go in there and correct about reads getting in and out drops a little bit faster from under center. So that's the main thing. I'm focused on the small things, and over time, the big things will happen.
It's a good answer. Sounds like a quarterback, I'll tell you that. And I think Shedeur is doing a good job of not creating any distractions right now. Even the other day when people ask about his father with the health reports, he goes, I'm not here to talk about my dad. Where I don't think it's, hey, yeah, well, you know, obviously something's going on with my dad. Obviously, I'm hoping for the best. But he wouldn't even take anything about his dad the other day. So not that I think that's a distraction, let me be clear. But that was a good answer, I thought, by Shedeur Sanders and not getting many reps that we just played for you. Let's go to, what's her name? The new owner of the Indianapolis Colts?
Charlie Ursay Gordon.
Oh, okay. Charlie Ursay Gordon on why she wears a headset on the sidelines.
One of the things that I learned in going through, even as back as when we hired Chuck Pagano, is that sort of accelerated my, I need to learn more about this. I need to be able to say, is this person full of BS? Do they even know what they're talking about? And I think one of the things that being on the headset has really helped me learn is, it's such a complex organism, a football team, and how it operates. And on game day, and you could say, oh, that person ran that route wrong. When you learn to find, oh, someone tagged the wrong wide receiver, and it wasn't really the player's fault. It was the person that called it. So it also helps us be able to know where do we need to make tweaks. And the headsets are really, I would suggest it for anyone else that has to pay coaches and GMs millions and millions of dollars. It helps you make a less expensive mistake, potentially.
So that's Carly Ursay Gordon. When I looked at this sheet and it said Charlie Ursay Gordon, I was like, huh? Yeah. Have you ever met a girl named Charlie? Just wondering.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I know some girls named Charlotte go by Charlie like a nickname.
Well,
yeah.
like the number one TikToker in the world. Charlie D'Amelio or whatever her name is.
Oh, I did not know that. That's why I like stuttered a little bit when I read my sheet and said Charlie Ursay Gordon, but it's Carly Ursay Gordon.
I must have had Charlie D'Amelio on my. I think she has like 7.
You're a big TikToker.
Yeah, but she.
Do you do the dances?
She has the one Dancing with the Stars. She got on Dancing with the Stars. She has 42 million followers on Instagram and like 200 million followers on TikTok. She won Dancing with the Stars because she's a TikToker. That's what she
sounds like. Hickey. Calm down. It's all right. I don't love an owner wearing a headset. That's micromanaging. Why? Do you?
I love it.
Really?
Yeah, as long as she's not butting her head into it, if it's just information gathering, I love it. Now, if she's butting her head in and, like, responding back and then going into meetings and saying, hey, I didn't like what you said here. But if she's just listening to kind of get a better idea of her players and her coaches, I'm all for it.
Nah, it seems like trust your football people to make the football decisions, and then if they're not good enough on the field, then you just get rid of them. I don't think you need to be listening in on everything that's going on in the headsets. That's just me. Finally, here is Urban Meyer on The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Lincoln Riley so far. Stinking Lincoln at USC.
The way I've always looked at USC is I equate them to Ohio State, Alabama, Texas, and, you know, Florida. I've always looked at USC as one of the top five jobs in America. So I've got a lot of respect for Lincoln Riley. And I promised myself I would never call for jobs because I'm not going to do that. However, when 7-8 wins is acceptable at USC, that's when I don't know. I don't agree with that. I think you take a five-hour net and drop it on USC, and you see the best players in the country. So here's a question I have about USC. They have the number one recruiting class in the country right now. Should they have that every year? I mean, yes. USC is USC. But 8-5, go 8-5 at Ohio State and see what happens.
He's right. I also loved how he said Alabama there. Alabama. Just loved how he said that, Urban Meyer. But Lincoln Riley, I've tried to say this for years. He's a good coach. He's not the greatest coach that people are making him out to be. He's been overrated for a while. Yeah, he won all those Big 12 championships at Oklahoma. Yeah, he made all those college football playoff appearances. How many college football playoff games did he win with Heisman Trophy winners? Zero. Zero. With Caleb Williams, couldn't even make the playoffs. A Heisman Trophy winner. So he's good. He's not great. And yes, the standard for USC has fallen. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll talk pucks with Liam McHugh next. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You will have game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final coming up tomorrow. The Panthers are up 2-1 in the Stanley Cup Final. Let's go down to Florida. Liam McHugh does a great job anchoring all the coverage on the desk for the NHL on TNT, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Liam, appreciate the time. How you been?
I'm great, man. Best time of the year. It's like 90 degrees. The most contrasting styles of environment we've had since last year, I guess, at this time. But hey, outside of the travel, this is about as good as it gets. Rematch, easily best on best hockey, and it's produced fireworks, man.
So I went into the Stanley Cup Final, and I said my gut tells me Connor McDavid and the Oilers are going to win. But then a little voice went off in my cabeza and said, you can't pick against the best team in hockey in the Florida Panthers. So I ended up taking the Florida Panthers. Truthfully, I don't care who wins. If the Panthers win, it doesn't change my life. If the Oilers win, it doesn't change my life. Neither are my team. But I was irate with the game that the Oilers played in game 3 because they were trying to be someone that they aren't, and they fell right into the trap of the Panthers. Just how about the way that the Oilers approached that game 3? Because I thought it was humiliating.
This was the first time we saw the Oilers, like you mentioned, fall into that trap. This is what the Panthers do. Several players in the Oilers a day later confess, like, we know it's in their DNA. They're going to get in your face. They're going to annoy you. They're going to irritate. They're going to try to get a response from you and get you out of your game. And they absolutely did that. And in the first period, it was a parade to the penalty box on both sides. And if the Oilers are not going to win the special teams battle, which they did not in that game and have not in the series, then they don't have a prayer. They absolutely don't. There's too much high-end talent. They have to win that. But more than that, they can't play that style. That's exactly what Florida wants. They are built for that. Sam Bennett is that guy. Matthew Tkachuk is that guy. And then they go and bring in Brad Marchand, who could not fit any more perfectly into what they want to do in between the whistles and specifically after the whistle is blown. And I thought the big moment in the game and the telling moment was after Sergei Bobrovsky got run into and there was goaltender interference penalty, Sam Bennett chased down Victor Arvidsson. They get center ice, but then Sam Bennett, of all people, doesn't take a retaliatory penalty. He grabs him, says something, and I think this is the magic and the important aspect of this new Florida team that maybe 2 years ago they didn't have. He probably said something that got under his skin, but then he skated away. It's almost twice as bad because you're going to the penalty box. Sam Bennett's laughing at you, which the Florida Panthers spent a lot of time doing the other night. And then they go and burn you on the power play. So the fact that they had the discipline and the Oilers didn't is an enormous problem. It has to be the other way if the Oilers are going to have a chance here.
So what do you think the response is going to be in game four? Because if the Oilers win game four, it doesn't mean they're going to win the series. But if they lose game four, I just don't see how the Panthers aren't going to find a way to win one more. So after getting embarrassed in game three, having a few days to really have it all soak in, what type of team do you think we see from the Oilers in performance tomorrow night?
I really do think we see a very different approach from the Oilers. I think Evander Kane specifically is a guy that I look to. He's been the X factor in the series. He only played two games in the last final. He was really banged up, and he is that physical force. And in game one, I thought he was excellent. He was exactly what you want about Evander Kane. He went out, he set a tone physically. People really didn't want to challenge him because, unlike a couple of the guys on the Panthers who like to irritate you, Evander Kane will throw down. And the guys who want to irritate you on Florida, they don't want to drop the gloves with Evander Kane. But he didn't pick up penalties. Right. So he was right there, right where he needed to be. I'd also say this. There's only a few athletes in the world who, when they say something like we've got to get it going, we're going to turn it on, or what Connor McDavid said, we have not gotten to our best game, but it is coming. You start to worry. Right. It is like if Michael Jordan said those words like, hey, we haven't played the way we can play, but watch out. That thing is coming. Connor McDavid says that. My ears perk up because I believe him. He is otherworldly. And the difference now, this year, and maybe last year too, the maniacal drive of Connor McDavid is what's separating him from the Connor McDavid in the past. He's always been the most talented player on the ice, easily the most talented player in the world. But now with that drive and him doing some of the things that Sidney Crosby does, which is the back checking, the defensive part of the game, the dirty stuff, he has both of those. I expect a very, very great response from the Oilers. Only thing, though, Zach, the goaltending. The goaltending is the issue. Listen, I'm sure we're going to get to it. The goaltending is the one thing that I question, and I really wonder what's going to happen.
Do you think Skinner's going to start?
I do. I don't think he should. I think they should go to Pickard. Now, Chris Knobloch's been coy about this. He doesn't want to tell you who's going to be in net. He says there's probably going to be a roster change, but that change could actually be defensively. I think there's a chance that Troy Stetcher comes in, Klingberg comes out. So defensively, there could be one roster change. I think they feel like they've gotten to this point. They're so late, and Skinner had been so good up to this point that they're going to ride with them. I think what worked for them in the past can work for them here, which is when Skinner's game goes away, Pickard comes in, the team rallies around him, he plays well enough, they get a win. Then you have a decision to make. Do you put Skinner back in? Because when you put him back in after taking him out, he's fantastic. I don't know why that is, but the reset for him works. It worked 2 years ago, worked last year. It could work again this year. I think they should go away from Skinner. I think they should go to Pickard. My gut says that they're not going to.
Liam McHugh here with us. I want to circle back on what you said with McDavid. He has 5 assists in 3 games in the Stanley Cup final. Doesn't have a goal. A lot of conversation, obviously, about Connor McDavid. If he does lose another Stanley Cup final here, and it's back-to-back years with the Panthers, we all know he's the best player in the league. Like, that's not up for debate. But how do you think people start to talk about Connor McDavid if it's back-to-back years where the best player in the league loses in the Stanley Cup final?
I think it's similar to how we've been talking about him. And hockey, I think, is unique in this way. All sports have the idea that you know, to be the greatest of all time, you need a championship. But I think hockey really values it, probably values it too much, because I think we're looking at someone who does things on the ice that no one's ever done. Absolutely. Like, he talent-wise, skill-wise, might be the greatest player of all time. And I sit at a desk 2 seats away from Wayne Gretzky. It doesn't give me any pleasure to say that. We ran some old Gretzky footage the other night just to remind the people at home that, magic existed before Connor McDavid. I think the way he operates and the speed that he operates is just different. That being said, like, you need the title. And to get this close and not finish the job, it'll be a conversation that continues, and it will eat at him in a way. The difference is, I don't know. I could see him being the type of stubborn player. And maybe this is me just being nostalgic. Because, mm-hmm. I'll give you some. I was a great, huge Knicks fan in the 90s. Okay? And if Patrick Ewing had lost all those times to Jordan and lost to the Pacers and then decided I'm going to be on the Bulls, I would have, he'd never be welcome back in New York in my mind. So I think McDavid's the type of guy who's like, I'm going to do it here. I'm going to get it done with this group. Like, I will make this happen one way or the other. And I think to some extent, Leon Draisaitl is that way too. So they're there. The other side of it, Zach, is we could be talking about in a year or two, one of the all-time greatest teams. If Florida wins and they wind up re-signing some guys and keep running this back over and over, I mean, we already talked about potential of a modern dynasty.
There's a lot to unpack there. Let me start you off, though, with the McDavid stuff, as Liam McHugh's here with us for a few more moments. You know, it hasn't even crossed my mind that he would leave Edmonton. Just because, right, the last 20 years we've seen Ovechkin with the Capitals. We've seen Crosby with the Penguins. Is there a lot of conversation that maybe he could be out the door soon there?
I think when Leon Draisaitl signed long-term, there was this feeling, okay, like Draisaitl's going to be there. McDavid's going to want to stay. They're going to run this back over and over. Two games into the postseason, we were preparing ourselves to have the discussion about, is McDavid going to be looking for other options? Because they were done. I mean, and I think you can ask a lot of the Oilers coaches and players how they felt two games in. And if they were being honest, I think they would say, yeah, it looked like we didn't have it. Kings were going to run us out of the building. And it looked like the Kings were potential Stanley Cup finalists. And then that conversation had to be had. And I think there was a chance that you'd wonder, is this guy looking for the exit? I think when you get this close, it's hard. I will tell you this, though. I've heard conversations both ways now. I've also heard conversations where if they come back and win it, who knows? Maybe he brought them a title. He's given them what they wanted. And maybe he pursues his career somewhere else as well. So it's interesting. Maybe those are just my colleagues who don't want to fly all the way to Edmonton. I mean, that's possible, but that's it as well. And they're just wishful thinking that they don't have to, you know, have a couple, you know, stops on the way to heading up north. But I'd love to see him stay. I think it's just as likely, but I think it's an option, sure.
I would think that's a one-way street, if you ask me, if the Oilers want him back. Obviously, I think the answer would be yes. If he wants to leave, it would only be because McDavid wants to leave. It wouldn't be the Oilers don't want him back.
Oh,
right?
No. I think it would it's a complete one-way street. So, if I was unclear about that, like, it is absolutely, like, if McDavid wants to leave, if he thinks, A, it's just not going to happen here, which I find hard to believe because you're this close, right? You're this close.
Yeah.
So, or B, he has an all-world performance over the next few games, wins the Conn Smythe again, gets the Stanley Cup, but deep down inside, something he has not expressed, and I don't know this, maybe it's in there, the reason I'd like to pursue this somewhere else, because then you leave and you're a legend, right? You've given Edmonton what they wanted. You're up there. You're not Gretzky, you're not that many Stanley Cups,
sure,
but you're up there. You have become the player that they drafted. So I think it's potential. There's potential for that to happen. And I mean, I don't know what's in his heart and his mind, but I think it's a conversation.
Right now, to me, he's a nicer version of this guy. But if you did a cross-sport analogy, and right, there's not a lot of controversy with McDavid, it kind of reminds me of how I felt like watching Barry Bonds as a kid, where the numbers were just ridiculous. You knew it was something that was so special. And hey, Bonds got to World Series with the Giants and lost to the Angels. Now we've seen two Stanley Cup appearances, and this is far from over. But if he loses this one, that's what I think the comparison is for me. It would be Barry Bonds a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, because he's bigger than, you know, Mike Trout would be the other one, but Mike Trout didn't get close, right? Like, so it's, or, you know, at least not consistently. So, he's that level. I think, and I've said this, we've talked before, I think he's the best team sport athlete in the world. And I don't even think it's something that's debatable right now. I would have said Leo Messi a few years ago, but now that Messi's older, it's not him. It's McDavid. He is that guy. And the fact that he's added all these different facets to his game. And that's the thing to me also. It's not like you could look at McDavid and say, you know what? He might have been able to lift them to a title had he done this and that and worked on defensive parts of his game and cared about back checking and worked on faceoffs. He's done all that.
By the way,
sorry
to cut you off, Liam McHugh. No. What was your reaction? You know, I know that everyone had a good laugh of it on the set, but when the commissioner comes out firing to Biz about the no state income tax and all that stuff with the Florida teams, if we had a mic'd up interview with Liam McHugh right there in that moment where we just did one of those back and forths, what would you be saying about that whole exchange? Because I thought it was great television.
Okay, so we had a meeting earlier in the day. And we talked, like, and we don't go into detail in our meetings. Like, our show's very loose. But, yeah, it's like, hey, listen, we got a couple questions we want to ask them. Obviously, Florida hockey and, you know, six straight final series with teams from the state. But I said, we can't bring this up without bringing up the state tax. And there are some people who are like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, it's Gary Bettman. He's going to relish the moment. Like, Biz comes to the desk and he's like, I want to ask that question immediately. As soon as I like it was Bevan's eyes, and I'm looking right at him while Biz is asking this question, like his eyes light up, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be fantastic. Here we go. And he is ready and he is just there to shoot that down, body Biz. And Biz is such like a perfect other foil for that because he's like, oh, like he'll take it and be the butt of the joke. What I thought was funny is like next up, Gretzky then hit him with, would you change the playoff format? And I'm like, oh my God, like we're hitting all the hits. This is everything that Bettman has shot down in the past. And I'm like, what's the next question here that we're going to talk about? Like, it's going to be like expansion to a city that he said is never going to happen. He was on it. He's defensive about it. I get it. I still think it's a conversation because here's what's going to happen. We're going to get to free agency. Sam Bennett's going to be a free agent that every single person wants. Brad Marchand is going to be a free agent that every single person wants. They are both only going to wind up at teams that have a chance to win Stanley Cups if they leave. And if they stay, they are probably going to have to take less money to fit into Florida's system. And then when you do the math, and it feels like in the end, if they get the same amount of money that they would have gotten had they gone somewhere else and been taxed, you have to at least sit there and say, yes, it is part of the equation. It's something that factors in. And I get that years ago, there weren't people coming to the games, and Florida, especially the Panthers, was a place that you would go to retire essentially in the sport and not have people notice that you've slowed down considerably. It's not like that before. So I get the edginess because they built something here. But I still think it's a factor, and we're going to see July 1st free agency starts. And if these guys wind up taking discounts, now part of that's because they can win, but the other part of that is because they get to keep a lot more of the money.
Two more from Liam McHugh. Nothing to do with the Stanley Cup final here. What did you make of Peter DeBoer getting shown the door in Dallas following the Ottinger comments and all that?
Listen, I wasn't completely surprised because I think in general in sports, if you're the coach, you can get fired. If you are the franchise player, you cannot. And Jake Ottinger is the franchise player. They paid him. He's their franchise goalie. He is one of the best goalies in the league. I think by the time the Olympics rolls around, I think he's going to be the starting goalie for Team USA. I think he'll start over Hellebuck. He's that good. Beyond that, he's extremely well-liked, very respected in the room, and a, kind of a quiet, friendly guy who's quietly competitive. DeBoer, I think if he could have that press conference back, he would. I think the decision is his decision, and I didn't love it at the time, but he went in there with an idea about what might happen in that series. It might happen in that game. It did happen. Goals were scored early, and he decided, this is what I feared. I'm making a move. Fine. I think the press conference doomed him. I don't think the decision did. The press conference did. That being said, I also think Pete DeBoer is going to probably have the pick of the next job openings in the NHL because of his track record. He wins everywhere. He wins everywhere. He gets to the conference final. And I know, oh, I didn't win the cup. There's a lot of teams that would like to get to the conference final.
Sure.
That don't even make the playoffs. So, you know, as someone who spent a lot of time in Buffalo, I can tell you right now, the conference final sounds gorgeous.
Yes. So. Last thing I'll ask you. So a little over a year ago, I had a flight to Florida. And it was the night the Rangers were playing game 6 up against the Hurricanes. And I'm a huge Rangers fan. And I had to watch the Chris Kreider comeback and the hat trick in the third on the plane. And I wanted to put out a video, but I knew I couldn't start screaming at my seat because then they'd probably duct tape me to the seat. And that wouldn't be good. So I ran into the bathroom, and I'm a large man at 6'4". And I'm like crouched over, given the instant reaction by the bathroom near the pilot. So I didn't want to yell and get like just destroyed walking out of the bathroom. So that was me, though. And then the Rangers, we know, lost in the Eastern Conference Finals after being up 2-1 to the Florida Panthers. A year later, this was a Rangers season that was a disaster. In November, December, I knew this team wasn't going anywhere. You saw the reporting all last night throughout the day. The deal's not finalized, but it appears that Kreider's going to the Ducks. To see what happened with the Rangers from last year to this year, is it just okay? It was one bad year, or is this going to spiral into many years of frustration for Zach Gelb, the Ranger fan?
Henrik Lundqvist on our panel has talked about that he still believes that the core can win, and that's big. Now, Chris Kreider was a big part of that core. He was like, he's never going to be a 50-goal scorer again. And there's some talk about net front presence guys and how they age. I don't know. I saw Joe Pavelski play to, you know,
sure,
late 30s, and Kreider's bigger than Pavelski, and he's still got that hand eye. I actually feel like he's a valuable asset. You can still get a ton out of him. So it's interesting, but they have a new coach, Mike Sullivan, and, you know, deals are going to get made. And Mike Sullivan got a good look at him, right? He was the head coach of that Four Nations team, and Chris Kreider was on it. So there's that. The best thing you have going for you is that you're the envy of almost every other team because of your goalie. Igor Shesterkin is all world. You have a chance to win always because you have Igor Shesterkin. You need to bounce back here badly from Fox. Adam Fox has got to be better. He was nowhere near the guy who was a Norris Trophy winner. He looked a little slower. He looked a lot more indecisive. The talent is there. I still think it's possible. I think it was a collection of awful things that happened in 1 year. And the fact that it happened right after the team won the President's Trophy, went to the conference final, only made it worse. And then they had all the off-ice things with leaks about plans for trades. I mean, it was a bad locker room and a worse product on the ice. It can only be better. I think they're a playoff team. I just don't know that I believe that the core, like Hank says, is still a championship core. I think it's a playoff core. I don't know that it's a I don't think it's a championship core.
NHL and TNT's very own Liam McHugh could catch him tomorrow night and all throughout the Stanley Cup final before, during, and after the games. Liam, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
You got it. Take care. Thanks for having me.
All right. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. So I guess the Knicks reached out to the Mavericks about Jason Kidd. I guess they reached out to the Timberwolves about Finch. Our guy, Mike Francesa, had the sources. I had to guess the sources. Maybe it was someone inside the Knicks organization. You know, I don't know anyone in the Knicks anymore. They don't talk to me anymore. Maybe it was Alex Rodriguez, who's Mike's like BFF, and he owns the Timberwolves. And also, the Knicks, I guess, reached out to Ime Udoka with the Rockets, and the Rockets said, yeah, we're good. So I said a name from the start. And my first reaction when the Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau and someone asked me, who do you think's going to get the job? I said, Johnny Bryant. I said, if you're getting rid of an older coach in Tom Thibodeau, who's extremely successful here, right? Took the team back-to-back 50-win seasons for the first time since 95 when Raleigh was the coach. Took him to the conference finals for the first time since 2000. And if you're going to get rid of him, I think it's because you believe he maxed out and he reached his apex, which you could agree or disagree with that. And also, you can look at and say to yourself, maybe they want to get younger and maybe they want to go what is the current coach and kind of the new way of an NBA coach, where it's a younger coach and there's someone in Johnny Bryant who I believe is 39 and used to be on the Knicks staff. So I kept on saying it was going to be Johnny Bryant. Now, were they interested in Kidd? Were they interested in Finch? Were they interested in Udoka? They reached out? Yeah. And they got denied. Now, I don't think it hurts to ask the Mavericks, to ask the Timberwolves, to ask the Rockets. And if you ask me between those three, I guess Udoka would be the one that I would want the most. I think the order would be Udoka, Kidd, and Finch out of those three. In those order of the coaches that I would most want to have and least want to have. But I think you're splitting hairs. The preference, though, for me would be Udoka out of those coaches. Now, the question that's out there is how much involvement did Mr. Dolan have in this? And truthfully, I do not know. As I just rip my headphone out of my ear. And no, it's not because I'm angry about this. It's because I just speak with my hands. And sometimes you have a little incident there on the radio. Now, some people have some incidents here on the radio. And they're a lot more serious than me just ripping my headphone out of my ear. No one has to run to the bathroom and go change their underwear or anything like that. But the Dolan situation to me is fascinating. And I know you don't like when I say I don't know, but I don't know. Did Dolan not want Tom Thibodeau as the coach anymore? I would say yes. Did Dolan, though, was he the one that organized this and said, hey, we're getting rid of him. Leon Rose, you either walk out or you get rid of him. That I don't know. So did maybe Leon not want him back? And Leon was the one that went to Dolan first and said, hey, I don't want him here anymore. We got to get rid of him. Do you approve? And Dolan said, yes, and that's it. Yes. Like, could that be the case? Sure. I don't know. So that to me is something I would like to have the truth and get the truth on. We're not going to get the truth about that until Leon Rose is not working with the Knicks anymore or this thing goes south and someone does an anonymous tell-all interview, right? Ultimately, I think it's going to be Johnny Bryant. I do. Kind of the other coaches, Kidd, Finch, and Udoka, their team saying no to me isn't a big deal. If Kidd really wanted the job, if Finch really wanted the job, if Udoka really wanted the job, they could get the job. It's kind of like Giannis. If Giannis really wants out, he could say he wants out. Now, those three coaches, you could say you want out, and the team could still deny you, but if you have a coach that doesn't want to be there, it does usually behoove you then to get rid of the coach and find a way to get a deal done. Ultimately, I do think it's going to be Johnny Bryant. I don't think this is that much of a disaster as a lot of people are making it out to be, because I think they are more than fine with Johnny Bryant. But it's still people saying, oh, when will the old Knicks pop up? And a lot of people are now dancing on the Knicks' grave saying, oh, here it is. Enjoy your run to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not ready to say that yet. I still think this is a very good team. You got Jalen Brunson. You got Karl Anthony Towns. You got OG Anunoby. You got Josh Hart. You got Mikal Bridges. You know, you have Mitchell Robinson. Right? There's got to be some changes. There's definitely got to be some changes. Now you got the same coach. Do I think Tom Thibodeau's coming back? Sorry. You know, we'll bring the boombox out there. Coach, come back. No, I don't think that's happening. So I'm thinking that they're trying to swing bigger, but they knew what their original swing was going to be and their original target was is Johnny Bryant. They're going to try for Kidd. They're going to try for Finch. They're going to try for Doka. I guess it's a no now. Could that change? Maybe. But until Johnny Bryant isn't hired, I'm going to think, like I've said from the start, that it is going to be Johnny Bryant. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Brandon Graham, BG, joins us next.